Welcome to Inside Out, the Naked Truth. Coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
And nudity is not just skin deep. So we do our best to uncover our truth from common and not so common beliefs, perceptions, assumptions, and attitudes through conscious conversation, poetry, music, humor, and hopefully your participation, because you can call in. And we'll get that number to you in just a little bit.
I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am Errol J. Strider.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
You can crunch on the wonderful Go Raw foods by going to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, the organic section of Costco, which is pretty impressive. Some of the people who work in that department, I noticed, were also organic. Or you can go to goraw.com to find a store near you and find out more about the Go Raw products. Okay, so tonight's program, let's get to it, because this is a big, big deal in my life. It's on the subject of grace.
Grace is the certainty of love, the knowing of love. Grace is the evidence that love exists. When I am filled with that grace, it is like floating in saline waters, buoyant and effortless. It comes upon me as I stand up against the wall of my own ego, when it seems to me that I don't know what to say, do, or even be. Then all of a sudden, I know the connection, and who I am becomes apparent. Why it disappears is still a mystery to me, as I slip back into shoulds, and I, the obedient student, child that I was, now once again is. My flow is impeded by my desire to be someone else, somewhere else, to resist with my will what is. And then, by the grace of God, I allow love in. Grace nudges the door open when it looks like I'll be most receptive. Oh, amazing grace. I once was lost, but at least for now, I'm found.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved and set me free. But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
So what we're here to explore tonight is, what is this phenomenon that we've called grace? The title of the show is Grace. It's amazing. It's this break in the pattern of law and expectation, where the mercy of the universe descends and breaks through and basically says, what is that term when people can come? Amnesty. Yes, we give you amnesty. You can return. And it reminds me of that parable where Jesus talked about the laborers who went to the work at the farm, and how they came at different times of the day, and they were all offered the same amount of money. And at the end of the day, the fellow who came at 8 o'clock, when he saw that the fellow who came at 4 o'clock was being paid the same amount, objected to that and said, hey, I worked all day. What's with that? And the owner of the ranch said, you know, we made our agreement about what was to be, and that's what it was. It's not about comparing it to anybody else. It is what we have agreed upon. And I can see in Rochelle's face, she's going, how does that relate to to grace. Well, I think the fact that the guy could come at 4 o'clock and still get paid a full day's work, that's kind of like grace.
Okay. I think that line that I said there, that grace is like, it pushes you through the door to love when you're ready, and it knows when you're ready. And you don't know when you're ready. It's like, it's beyond our knowing. But there's this moment where you just let go. And I don't think we're consciously aware of it. And then we're in that state of grace.
Well, it's
because it's like it goes beyond what you think and what you think you know. It's just this, it's just this thing that comes in you, comes into you, and all of a sudden, by the grace, you are softened, you are malleable, you're aware, you're conscious, you're that which seemed yucky all of a sudden takes on hues of beauty.
Well, let's go into this poem that I wrote about grace. It's almost like my left brain is incapable of tracking it, getting there, understanding it. So I turned it over to my right brain, and while it may fall short of anything definitive, perhaps these images and the music that goes with them will release some sense of that potential of grace within you. Here we go. Grace touches me with a liquid embrace, just at the point where I vanish from my sight. My hand reaches out, grasping, questing. Is something there? Grace witnesses to presence. When I am tempted to shout, nothing, nowhere, grace calls to me and invites me to follow suit with hearts, a handful of hearts. Grace descends full throttle like a rocket cleared for landing, with a cargo of flowing goodness when the tariffs of blame are lifted. Grace, a slow curving essence just round the bend, where my thoughts leave off and only my faith drives me through. Maybe take a break from the piece. It might be a good time to just stop until the computer recovers from its malformity and quits acting up. Do you ever have that experience where, like, you're working at your computer and you're saying, God, I wish grace would come in and get the cursor to sit still, because it's just kind of all over the place. It's disobedient cursor syndrome. I'm sure you've all had it sometimes.
I don't even think about it. I don't have a disobedient cursor so much. It's like it just goes somewhere else, stops or does whatever. I think I tell people that I really fared much better with pencils.
With pencils?
Yes.
Than a cursor.
The only thing I had to deal with is a broken point, in which I then had a little pencil sharpener, and it was all better. Maybe the quill was even more obedient.
Part of the process is that there is breakdown in the system. And that's as good a place.
In our system.
Well, in
too.
Every system. And that's as good a place to take a look at grace as any other place, especially when the systems break down. There is pain. There is suffering. There is broken expectation. There is death and disease. Okay? These are with us all the time. some of you listening out there tonight may be experiencing some level of discomfort in your life, or certainly when we turn our attention to what's happening in the world, we know for a fact that right now there is an amazing amount of pain occurring in different places. So there we ostensibly have this phenomenon of grace, this way of accessing some sort of divine prerogative that releases the wherewithal to, as Katy Perry said in her song, lift yourself up. It's like a breath of air that you can stand on and that lifts you up in an unexpected way. You didn't know you could stand on this cloud, but there you are. It breaks expectation. It just shatters the ego mind's need to try and put things into left or right categories.
I think sometimes that grace is like my grandma grace. Grandma grace. The way my grandmother was when her arms enfolded me, there was this extraordinary peace and well-being and sense that everything was all right with the world. That when grace overtakes my fears, my indecisions, that's the way it feels. It feels like I'm being held in these beautiful, soft arms of this wise woman that was my grandmother.
Isn't that wonderful? I'm reminded, as you say that, we talk a lot about the Arantxa book on this show because it's just one of the books that just seems to say some really outstanding things about reality that I continue to draw wisdom from. And it talks about the baptism of the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. Of Course in Miracles talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit is one of the three featured characters in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Which will be coming to you soon on a major network.
Right. It's a series, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Anyway, but according to the Arantxa book, that Spirit is called the Comforter. That is a very interesting choice of words. A comforter, it comes to comfort us. Surely that is this experience of grace.
Yes, absolutely. It comforts us. And they use that expression, it's like floating in a saline water, you know, it's buoyant and effortless. It's just in that space, there's just no, you can't complain in a state of grace.
You heard it here, folks, on Inside Out, the Naked Truth from Los Gatos, California. You cannot complain if you're in a state of grace. They're mutually exclusive.
Right.
But if you'd like to complain, we will take on your complaints and we'll throw the light of our impression of grace on it. You can call in and interrupt us anytime. Right now, 888-627-6008. That's 888, those three kind of vertical infinity signs. 627-6008 again. So back to grace. Let me see if I can pick up a couple more images from the poem before it was so rudely interrupted by technological inadequacy. Let's try it here now.
It's not grace.
No. Grace picks me up when I falter, holds me down when I try to fly apart in the screaming of my doubt. Grace, the eager surprise, when I thought the party was over and it really wasn't for me. Grace, warm and lush under my feet, on a spring morning after brittle winter, the winter I create each moment I run from the
springtime in my mind. Oh, the air is pregnant with grace, pulsating, caressing each pore of my body, demanding entry into my lungs, insisting on the in and out, never tired of breathing me. Oh, there's grace standing above the timberline where my thoughts can no longer know and the howling winds tear my pretensions asunder. Grace's infinite arms for where my thoughts can no longer know and the howling winds tear my pretensions asunder. Grace's infinite arms forever surround me as they weave themselves through my all too clever defenses, squeeze through the turmoil of my bewilderment, and wrap themselves around my budding though tentative trust in the love from which grace appears to emerge, resplendent in its electrified colors, and sweeps us into that compelling embrace. The we, the arms of spirit, gracing our heartbeats, one more chance, a dub. One more chance, the dub. Choose again. The dub, the dub, the dub. Choose again.
The image there of one more chance. It's like life keeps beating us, pounding away, pumping out this blood, this life. And it's interesting to think of it in terms of blood and the heart and the metaphor of the heart and how important it was to Yeshua, known as Jesus, that the whole blood and the body, which was so grossly distorted, in my opinion, by the powers of the church that were, hopefully they're not the powers that be, but they were the powers that were, and distorted this whole idea of blood sacrifice. And I think that's one of the things that grace directly, I want to say confront, but grace inherently is not confrontive, but absorbs, let's put it that way, which is that there was a sacrifice needed to win the favor of God. And even when we pray, I was talking to someone yesterday morning who lives here, Adoria, I love her name, and she was so sweet. She was saying, you know, I don't hope for something. I hope you'll do well on the test. She says, I trust you'll do well on the test. And I like that distinction. And it's like, I trust. So I'm already assuming and moving into that state of trust. And grace fuels our ability to become more trusting of that which is beyond the mind's ability to grasp or control.
Okay.
Okay. That's it. Okay, Gracie. Can we do better? Okay. I tell you what, instead of just doing that, let's actually hear this interesting perspective, but for the grace of God, by Keith Urbane.
I can hear the neighbors, they're arguing again. And there hasn't been peace on our street since who knows when. I don't mean to listen in, but the shouting is so loud. Turn up the radio to drown it out. silently I say a little prayer. But for the grace of God, do I must have been born a lucky guy. Heaven only knows how I've been blessed with the gift of your that he's rich, but he seems so poor. 'Cause no one comes to call on him, and his phone, it never rings. He wanders through his empty home, surrounded by his things. And silently I say a little prayer, yes I do. But for the grace of God, do I must have been born a lucky guy. Heaven only knows how I've been blessed with the gift of your love.
Did he say?
He says, I can hear the neighbors, they're arguing again, and there hasn't been peace on our street since who knows when. I don't mean to listen in, but the shouting is so loud. I turn up the radio to drown it out, and silently I say a little prayer. But for the grace of God go I. I must have been born a lucky guy. Heaven only knows how I've been blessed with the gift of your love. And I look around, and all I see is your happiness embracing me. Lord, I'd be lost but for the grace of God.
I think of certain incidences in my life, you know, and I think, there but for the grace of God, I might have been there, but I'm here. And I see it as grace. I see it because there's a benefit to it. Grace has bennies.
Perks.
Perks. It has perks. Grace has perks.
We'll be bringing you the perks of grace.
Yeah. I mean, it always has perks. It's never what is
just plain old grace.
Right. You really get to feel something. You're a little more. The peace that comes over you is so beautiful. And the sense of, like, your own power. You feel it. You can feel it. And you know that it's not in your head and it's not in your images, that it's beyond images, that it is what you're experiencing is a link to love.
What comes to mind as you say that is the idea of you feel included.
Yes.
It's inclusion. So imagine or think of the times in our lives where we don't feel included. That would be the opposite of grace. I remember when I was in high school and there were a bunch of us guys about to run across campus. I've shared this story with you before, and I was going with them. You know, about 20 guys going somewhere. And then at a certain point, I stopped, and they continued on. And I had this realization that they didn't really care whether I was there or not. And I just thought, okay, I don't need to be a part of that. And I turned around and went the other direction. And I'd have to say that that's pretty much characterized my life.
But it was a state of grace.
Yeah, it's like a wake-up call. And in that situation, I wasn't included. And obviously something in me was alert enough to recognize what that was like and that I didn't want that. I want to be included, even though At times I look at my life, sometimes I feel like that old man that he describes in that song, where that was the next lyric. He says, I can see that old man, he's walking past our door, and I've been told that he's rich. Well, that's not about me, but I am rich. Wait a minute, I back up on that. I am so rich, but that's another show. He seems so poor because no one comes to call on him. His phone never rings. Wanders through his empty home, surrounded by his things. Silently, I say a little prayer. Yes, I do. That brings up another issue, which I'd like to devote a whole show to, which is prayer. And it's associated, to what extent does our entering on someone's behalf through what we call prayer, does that help catalyze grace into that situation? Is grace proportionate to one's ability to be receptive and open?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I mentioned that in the very beginning, you know, that if you think of grace as this divine being for just a second and not a phenomenon, but it's this being that is just waiting for your receptivity, even though you may not be aware of it. And then slowly this door opens that you can see, you know, you can walk through it, and you're in a state of grace. And I think that all the times in my life when I've experienced grace, what I thought of as grace anyway, has always been that, I wouldn't say lost, but it is in the beautiful song of Amazing Grace. You're lost and then you're found.
And
you
imagine.
Feel lost because you can't grab hold of anything, and you want to. And the interesting about grace is there's nothing to hold on to. So you don't have to worry about whether you're holding on to it or not, because there's nothing there to hold on to.
It's holding on to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that old story about a guy walking on the along the beach with Jesus and getting tireder and tireder, and there were two footsteps along the beach, and then after a while, something like this, there was only one set of footprints, and he said to Jesus or whomever, "You, why did you abandon me?" And he said, "I didn't abandon you. I was carrying you."
I remember that one,
so,
yeah.
So to go back to the song, or to go forward, to move toward it, for those of you who may or may not know, it was written by a man who had been a slaver. I'm not sure, 18th century, 17th century. And grace came and basically showed him the error of his ways, to put it mildly. And he thought himself as a wretch, and that's the lyric, you know, Amazing Grace, what a wretch I was. And that's interesting, because whenever I hear that word, I kind of crinkle up and go into resistance. I don't like the word wretch. And yet I could see, if someone had done that, and then all of a sudden you're awakened to the value of your fellow man, and you realize what horrible conditions you subjected your fellow men and women to. Wow, talk about a break in consciousness. So ponder that as we listen to this version, which I picked partially because she does such a great job, Kathy Bolton, and it's not as familiar as some of the other versions, and partially because there's a little shift in those lyrics. So here you have it, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved and set me free. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious dear
It's so interesting. We had rain here for 2 days, which was welcome, very welcome. We're in drought-infested California, and having the rain was very beautiful while it was raining. But what happened after the rain was magical. It was like we were showered in grace because the colors were so clear and the air was so clean that everything stood out in sharpness and beauty. And when I was hearing, you know, I was blind, but now I see, it felt like that, you know, that this all murky and cloudy air and dusty air. And then all of a sudden, all those particles that keep you from really appreciating the beauty that exists around you and within you are removed. And then you are in this light and can see exquisitely what you couldn't see before. And it's not that your eyes were closed. It's that you had so many things between you and what was truly beautiful that you couldn't see it. It's like your own stuff. All your own stuff were these particles of detritus.
Detritus. We were playing with the word detritus the other night, and we discovered there was a general detritus in the...
No. We were thinking of detritus as the pronunciation, and we discovered that the pronunciation was detritus.
What do they know?
It's kind of
just
messy.
Somebody's opinion.
A lot of messiness.
This is Inside Out. You're listening to Rochelle and I, Inside Out, The Naked Truth. We are sponsored. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go raw. Talk about getting something that's full of grace. It's just like the healthiest way you can take in foods. State of the art for those of you who are health conscious. And so we're very grateful. And tonight we're dealing with the subject of grace. It really is a provocative and elusive subject. You really can't put your hands on it. Let me come back to a couple more images, and let's see if that opens up something from my poem on grace. Here we go.
Choose again. Grace is the storehouse for choices. It never empties or dries up or lingers in indecisiveness. And grace is God blowing kisses each time we recognize each other. Oh, I thought it was you. Yes, it's me. Oh, there you are. Yes, I am. So good of you to come. And grace giggles in gratitude, luxuriating in the realized sensation that the gift is received, the present opened, offering accepted. Thank you, says grace. I only ask to be received, to be lived. A living grace. Graces, graceful, graces me.
Let's talk about an experience of grace that we've had. What about you? Can you think of a particular instance?
Every day I have a moment of grace because I'm living in a place with a lot of people and a lot of people who are from all different walks of life and experiences, and it's very energetic. And sometimes it can be draining because the energy is just is constant, though the place itself is so beautiful that it's very often absorbs all of that. But there's this thing in me that when I just like drop into this place, it's almost as if all of that goes away. And there's just this peace. And to me, that's a state of grace. And in these times, I it's not that I consciously ask for it, but there's something unconscious about asking for it. Going, I don't want to go into that space of tumultuousness. It's like I don't really know how to get there. I could say I pray or I wish for it, but there's something in me that just kind of like, relaxes. You know, like when your shoulders are really uptight and somebody comes along and they put their hands on you just ever so gently, and all of a sudden you find your whole body relax into that space, and all of a sudden you're sitting straight and you're not bent over. You've experienced that, haven't you?
It reminds me of the whole idea of being met, because that's what I hear you describe. You're met. There you have this tension. Mm-hmm. And then some presence, living presence, comes along and meets it. And in that meeting, there is a quieting of the tension in our being. And I think that grace is about that meeting. It's the universe kind of stepping out and going, I can't wait to give you this. I'm going to give it to you now.
Yeah,
we'll give you patience. Yeah, we'll practice. But right now, I want you to have this gift. So I'm just going to break the expectation mold or even my own rules and just give you grace.
It's strange, but I feel in some way you can't like go, I want grace, I want grace, I want this grace. Because I think if you did, you wouldn't recognize it. Because in your desire for it, you'd have an image of what it would look like. Even the words I use, you know, when I say that I feel this peace and I feel this sense of centering. Yeah, but I can describe it after the fact. It's like before the fact, I don't know what that's like. It's after I get it, I could tell you what it is. But to say like, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this, I don't think it's possible. I think there's something in me that just calls for it that is not part of my academic mind that I can think it through. It's something that's deeper or higher, deeper and higher. Maybe it's higher and deeper or deeper and higher. I'm not anyway, it's this other thing. It's something in me that has a longing that goes beyond words, goes beyond concepts.
Well, here's some words.
Okay, I wish I can't hear tonight.
Well, I'm going to just speak these.
Oh, good.
All right, this is further on in the poem. Just some images about grace and how maybe to get some sense of feel for it. Like you said, you can't really ask for it, or you certainly can't manipulate it into your life. So these are some images that came to me. Grace is the beacon in the storm when you raise your eyes out of shyness. Grace is the exit door down the aisle of our panic. Grace is the dessert at the end of the feast. The oasis defying the desert. That's grace. The innocence just beyond jaded expectations. There be the grace. And grace can be a familiar, endearing hello at the other end of the line. And grace is the welcome sigh of relief when the story turns out all right. And grace is God's goodness and the gratitude we feel when she chooses to show up inside a person, whether we call that being Christ, Buddha, Krishna, you or me.
I like it.
Well,
I'll take two.
You'll take two. Okay. Well, two is a little more expensive. You don't get all the perks. If I could talk you into five, that would include the katsu knives.
Oh, definitely. I'll take five.
Yeah. Then you can cut up and take five. You can cut up your grace. I hope you're doing well out there. We are so fortunate that we even have time to reflect on something like this, and let alone having experienced it. The other thought that came to my mind in terms of what we can do to avail ourselves of grace, and for me, aside from the ones that just break through, like what happened to that captain of the slave ship, we can turn in the direction that grace has purported to come from. And what direction is that, you may ask?
I think it's east by northeast, 36 degrees by 14 degrees south. Latitude,
right.
By 67 degrees,
oh, good.
By 82 degrees
good.
Longitude.
Oh, good. That was really, that was good. That was very precise. Okay. I think it was 69 degrees on the longitude. So that would be a lot different. So you're probably not going to get it if you follow Rochelle's exact directions. But the direction seems to be within. We're told by all the great traditions and teachers, the reality of being, the source of life, the essence of love, the God, the infinite, all of that is within. So we're left with that. So if we follow that within, what is the within?
I just had this absolutely adorable picture of the Pooh Bear, you know, as he puts his little head into the bee where all the honey is. And all you see is his little bottom,
right.
You know, and the rest of him is inside the honeycomb. And it's delicious, of course. The whole image is delicious, and it makes you smile. And there's nothing in it that is in any way frightening or destructive. It's all very sweet. The honey is sweet. The Pooh Bear's little bottom is sweet. Everything is sweet. I mean, but that's the image that came to me when you said go within, like turning around on myself and going into the honey that's inside me. And of course, it's not physical. It's a totally imagistic thing because it's within, it's out, it's wherever. It isn't a local place.
But it's not accessible by the external senses. I think whatever else the within is.
That's right. It's not accessible by the external
they
senses.
They can trigger it. If you see a beautiful view, it can heighten your responsiveness.
It's like awe. It's awe.
It is like awe. And I think it's so discreet and so subtle because we're just so immature in relationship to our ability to realize it, feel it, access it, understand it. And because we're just little tiny pieces of conscious dirt as personalities, just kind of getting started in a vast universe. So it's not surprising that we have very little awareness of this dimension that is so far beyond us.
I think it was very interesting. We went to vote tonight. I felt drawn to go with Errol, even though I felt I hadn't registered to vote. But then again, since I can't remember very many things these days.
Who was it that I couldn't remember was registered to vote? Somebody around here.
I thought I wasn't. Anyway, I went with Errol. And when we got to the polling place, my name was there as if I had registered and was ready to vote.
It's Grace.
It was Grace that led me there, and I voted. And I was thinking just now, wouldn't it be interesting if the person I voted for won by one vote? Now, that would be really a miracle.
Right. They'd probably have to do a recount. But, you know, it wouldn't be complete to me an evening of music that celebrates this Grace without this artist doing his interpretation of it.
To try for the kingdom, you gotta try for the kingdom on high. You gotta try by His grace, by His grace. You got to live your religion deep inside when you try.
Try for the kingdom, oh, my, by His grace, by
course, that was Van Morrison. He's an amazing artist. I didn't come upon Van Morrison until late in life, after I went through the change, and my young grandson, Nicky, came up to me. He said, "Grandpa, have you ever heard Van Morrison?" I said, "Well, he was like the 13th president, wasn't he, Nicky?" He said, no, Grandpa, he was not. He's a singer. He was like a very popular singer in the 60s. And I told him I heard about the 60s. I missed them, even though I was alive, but I was busy thinking about the 50s when the 60s came, and then I didn't get around to them until the 70s got around, and so I kind of skipped the 60s. But there you are. That was Van the Man Morrison.
That's really interesting because, I don't know, when you get so lost in the past, you can't be in the present. And I think the present is a state of grace.
No question. The present is the state of grace. Yes. Yes.
So when you're right there, when I am right here, right now, the way I am with you, whatever is going on, whatever is in my ability to embrace it all, I can't embrace anything if I'm not in a state of grace. I can't embrace it. It's impossible. I can't lift my arms up. It's like grace lifts my arms up and allows me to embrace. Without grace, there is no embrace. Oh, I like that. Without grace, there is no embrace.
She likes that. She's very happy with herself for finding that combination of words. Speaking of words, I was thinking about the trouble you've been having hearing the words of the songs tonight through your headset. And then I also remembered you saying at a certain point that really you can't really do it with words. And so I think grace intervened and took the words out of the music just for you, because I heard every one of the words, and I hope the audience heard the words, but you were visited by grace because grace took you literally, take the words out, and so you just heard the music.
Isn't he sweet? Isn't he absolutely sweet? I mean, there's a man who just made my discomfort. He turned it into something positive and beautiful and something that I would have wished for if I had known about it.
Yeah, but you didn't know because you're dumb about those things. And okay, we got to sign off. This has been great. This is Errol Strider.
This has been Grace.
This has been Grace, Gravy Grace.
This is Rochelle Strider, Alicia Strider, and I'm saying goodnight to you. And remember.
Remember what?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Ooh.